Blog Talk Radio.
I can't help but when I look at you, nothing but American dreaming. Oh, 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 oh. It's my dream.
And welcome back to CEO in 10. I'm Rick Tokini. Our very special guest today is Michael Fetter. And Michael is the president and CEO of Vulcan Ignite, also serves as the president of Blitz Envy, and is founder and CEO of Prayer Spark, and is on several board of directors as well. Prayer Spark is a particular interest to us because Tech.co named Prayer Spark one of the 50 top startups in the world for 2016. And embedded in Michael's company and organizations is this common theme of mentors and helping others. Michael, it's an honor to have you on CEO in 10 today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm glad to be here.
You bet. Listen, for starters, would you be so kind to share with our listening audience a little bit about your own colorful career journey?
Absolutely, I would. You know, I started out, you know, as a lot of people, I think, have, which was down an educational path. And fortunately, I was getting an education at a time where people really thought that education in and of its own thing was of value, that getting an education, an undergraduate education, wasn't necessarily a patch to you needed to have an ROI on the money you spent directly into a career path. And that's happened, obviously, as a result of the staggering debt load that people have had to, you know, take on in recent years to actualize an education appropriately. But for me, I, as an undergraduate, was philosophy and then got led into theoretical physics. I studied that stuff because I just was fascinated and loved it. The concept that, you know, the speed of light was a constant was amazing to me. When you think about the, I don't know, if you're on a train and your friend is standing on the platform and the train is moving at 100 miles an hour, and as it gets to your friend, you both throw a ball toward a billboard, the obvious thinking would be that the guy on the train throwing the ball's ball will hit the billboard first because it's going at whatever he throws it at plus 100 miles an hour that the train is moving, whereas the guy standing still is only going as fast as he throws it. Say it's, you know, they can throw a 20-mile-an-hour throw. So that makes perfect sense, right? And then when you realize that if they turned a flashlight on at the same time, both of the lights would hit the thing at the same time, and then you start to wonder where that 100-mile-an-hour of the train speed went, all of this leads into these profound consequences in sort of theoretical physics and the way the world, the universe is functioning. So I did that not because I wanted to go on and become a professor of theoretical physics or teach philosophy. I just thought it was interesting, and I had the opportunity to focus and study on those things that were interesting, which was nice for me. I was a serious athlete, endurance athlete back in those days. I did the Ironman World Triathlon before the word extreme sports, the term extreme sports was even really invented, Boston Marathon and all that jazz. So I was just into doing stuff. I didn't want to be a professional athlete, wasn't going to the Olympics, just doing stuff. So that was kind of the beginning for me. And then I went to law school and wasn't wild about law and went to got an MBA after that. So I ended up with this advanced skill set, technical skill set of being able to sort of vet contracts and understand the way things got put together legally, and also from a business standpoint, how you could structure a business, you know, what does an org chart look like, and, you know, what's happened in businesses when issues came up. So armed with all of that, I embarked on a career with as much creativity in it as I felt like I could find. And maybe it's because, I get bored quickly, or I have a short attention span. That'll be for sort of the analysts or my wife to tell you. But that's kind of how I ended up where I am.
It's an amazing journey. And when you look at your background, one could call you a Renaissance man. And why you've been interested in doing what you're doing. And along that path, you must have had some favorite mentors, especially as it relates to Prayer Spark. Can you share a couple of stories about your favorite mentors and how they have positively influenced your life?
I can. First of all, you know, I've been lucky. And people who think they've gotten to where they are in life, who have achieved stuff and they've done it on their own, I have kind of an issue with. There is so much luck that goes into getting any place. The luck of birth, that you're born with all your faculties, the luck that something doesn't happen to you and rob you of something critical. All of these things are things that happen to people that are a complete accident of birth, along with who it is that you're, you know, birthed around, as it said. And I was very fortunate. My grandparents were educated people, and my parents were, master's degree level. My parents, it was always assumed you'd end up not just getting an undergraduate degree, but a master's degree. My grandfather was an attorney, and he was all about achievement and all about doing stuff. And my grandmother was all about unconditional love, and sort of watching those examples and having those examples around me was a very, very formative. My father was a Fortune 500 CEO, and sort of watching his achievement, Wharton MBA, that was incredibly formative to me. I was very, very lucky to have some major league mentors in my life, starting in business school. Dr. Jeffrey Sonnenfeld, you guys can Google him. He's now at the Yale School, at the business school, and he's a leadership guy. And intellectually a brilliant guy, and understanding and watching how he interacted with the business world was critical for me. And then from a marketing standpoint, I was fortunate enough to work side by side with Isaac Tigret. And Isaac Tigret was the co-founder of the Hard Rock Cafe and then the founder of the House of Blues, and a global brand builder extraordinaire who's decided to dedicate his life to charitable endeavors, moved to an ashram in India and now lives in India, gave most of his money to building hospitals for the poorest people in the world. A very, very fascinating man. I'm now happy to call one of my closest friends. So all of that sort of led into my being interested in social good companies. And that's where PrayerSpark comes in. PrayerSpark, we've assembled a team of global interfaith leaders, and these are people, Peggy Well-Known Buffalo, she was honored by the Dalai Lama as one of 51 points of light in the world, and she's on the Crow Nation, and I went to the Crow Nation, and I slept on a teepee on her clan lands. On the far opposite end of the world, we have Sherry, one of the leading Aboriginal spiritual leaders in Australia. Spends half the week in the rainforest working with the poorest of the poor, and all the way in between, we have female imams and Islam Muslim leaders whose sort of charitable efforts are all about talking about that Islam is peaceful and denouncing the violent interpretations of it. We have Reverend Willie Jones here in Las Vegas, who spent the last 28 years in the juvenile justice system working with juvenile offenders to great success. All of the spiritual leaders are not only incredibly diverse in terms of representing everything from Buddhists to Wiccans to Christians, priests, rabbis, Methodist, Universalist, all of them, but they all have grassroots hands-on charitable efforts they're involved in. And we've taken their mentorship, their support, and brought it to the biggest pain points in society today. And we've done that by creating clinical mobile apps. Now, these apps are clinical because you can't download it from the App Store. You have to be enrolled in an addiction center, for example, and it becomes that addiction center's app that helps you. And that's allowed us to create private vertical chat rooms inside of it, much like a Facebook kind of technology, but the only people in it are other people that were assigned seats by that particular institution, so you know you're not being catfished, your boss can't find out you're just 4 weeks out of a heroin addiction or whatnot. So it creates safety and security, almost a virtual AA meeting, if you would, for them. And we've also got a lot of other stuff bundled in there, 24/7 emergency tech support with trained people, daily affirmations, multisensory stress reduction, and spiritual support from the spiritual leaders around the world in real time. So when someone wants someone rooting for them, they can choose. They can say, I'm an atheist, how does this help me? And we present them with the shaman and these various people, and then they get a note of support in real time, and they know it's a powerful thing. They know that Peggy Well-Known Buffalo is taking a minute out of her day to think about them and their recovery and is cheering them on. So, you know, those are some of the elements of how that app works, and we've developed it for addiction recovery. We've developed it for campus wellness because there's a dropout rate and a terrible stress and depression and suicide rate going on campus. We've developed for vets, for PTSD. We have a corporate wellness one, and every one of them serves as a profit center, not just a cost center to the institution that adopts it, because it works on something that's costing them quite a bit of money and reduces that cost. And the cost of the fees, the essentially licensing fee they pay to us for utilizing and white labeling the app to their branding, is much, much lower than the amount that they either save because students aren't dropping out, they're able to triage their efforts. I mean, we have an algorithm, that specifically identifies who's most at risk. Who's most at risk? It's a learning algorithm and a machine learning that identifies who in a group of maybe 200 users is most at risk of dropping out, committing suicide, relapsing. And the person, the admin, can log in the morning, and in 20 seconds they'll see the news feed. Three people have hit the red today, and they can triage their efforts immediately toward intervention. They'll see who's made posts in the social feed. So it's really all about bringing comfort, trying to, you know, make a difference in lowering the relapse rate and the dropout rate, and in giving people a safe place to support one another. And that's been the development of Prayer Spark. And the reason that it's been so important for us to find these great religious mentors and spiritual mentors that have specifically grassroots hands-on charities is because we give back. Not only are we a social good company in terms of the application of what we're doing, but we give a substantial portion of our revenues back to the spiritual leaders. So instead of driving an Uber or whatever in their spare time to raise money for their institutions, they can spend an hour supporting people a day online by the methodology we've created and the technology we've created, and earn $40 or $50 an hour for their institution, which is actually quite big money, as it turns out, for the kind of institutions and the way these guys and women raise money otherwise. So that's kind of what's going on over at Prayer Spark.
You are at the top of the food chain of mentors around the world because you're accessing the best of the best, the superstars across all faiths. At what point, Michael, did you come up with this idea? What was that moment of brilliance, or flash of brilliance, as we call it here?
The origin story. I had worked with Isaac Tigret, who I mentioned, on his third initiative, which he wanted to be another chain, bricks and mortar chain, much like House of Blues and Hard Rock Cafe, except this one was going to be world music and the Brazilian conga line and stuff like that, and be infused with spirituality. And we did a bunch of research back in 2000-ish about what people meant when they said spiritual but not religious, and the efficacy of prayer and all kinds of stuff like that. And then 9/11 happened, and he said, "That's it. I'm done. I'm going to the ashram. I don't want to do anything more in the material world." And nothing happened. And then many years later, I'm literally, of all things, at the gym on a treadmill, and I'm watching a newsfeed that says Nelson Mandela is sick in the hospital, and he's asking his supporters to pray for him. And I thought, you know, what we found out was the kind of prayer that impacts the individual receiving it the most is when they know about it, and it comes from people that they're not intimately connected to and therefore might feel a pressure to perform to get well for, but rather that they see as holy and sort of spiritual people. So I thought, what if I could put a system together where people were saying prayer for Nelson Mandela, and then he got that prayer, he saw it, and it came from interfaith religious leaders around the world. And this happened like in a thunderbolt while I was on the treadmill watching the news feed about Nelson Mandela. So that's what formed Prayer Spark, and everything since then has just been recruiting and meeting and blocking and tackling and fundraising and technology. And the technology is extremely complicated to make all this work right. I brought on a co-founder, Dr. Daniel Sarborn, a leading telemedicine physician in the United States, trained at Harvard and Duke, who understands well how you manage your own channel of patients. And that helped inform how we could put technology together so spiritual leaders could manage, in essence, a whole bunch of different people at the same time like that. So I brought in the expertise, and And we're heading into our institutional beta, the first major institutional beta with a major local hospital this coming week. So it's an exciting time for us.
It sounds like it. Michael, we have got to have you back on another show to continue this conversation. But for today's purposes, because of PrayerSpark, tell us where our listeners can go to find out information today.
You can go to www.prayerspark.com, just like it sounds. And, you know, if you're a spiritual leader that's interested in this, we don't charge. We help put you on board and take care of it all. It's a platform for you to reach beyond your community and support other people. If you're an investor, you want to know what's going on, any of that, you can reach me directly at Michael, M-I-C-H-A-E-L, at prayerspark.com. And I'm happy to hear from you.
Excellent. Thanks again for being on, and we promise you folks that we'll have Michael on for a future show to continue to talk about mentors and especially about PrayerSpark. Thank you, Michael, for making a difference, and that moment on the treadmill is now changing thousands of lives, and that's it's part of it, I know, is about being a mindful leader, but you're making it happen, and we really appreciate the difference that you're making, especially through your mentors. So thank you, sir, for being on today's show.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a wonderful day for me already.
You bet. And folks, that was Michael Fetter, and we appreciate him being on. That was such a wonderful, pleasant surprise to learn more about PrayerSpark. And again, you can go to prayerspark.com to find out more information. And Michael's other companies are Vulcan Ignite and Blitz NV. And he just has lots going on in his life, juggling lots of balls. But you can hear that he is making profound consequences in the lives of many. Hey, thanks for joining us today on our show, and we appreciate you listening to this program. And as we always say here, keep talking, but listen more intently. Have a great weekend.